preacher, being brought up in southwestern lower Michigan. Remember those days, and they were quite the times and the days. And I remember as I was going through that time in my life in Michigan, that I remember going through that time in my life, and I would listen to maybe starting when I was about 12 years old, so it was the early 60s, I would start listening to songs on the top 40 radio. And in the early 50s, rock music began to make its inroads into America and into the pop music in America. And I remember that happening in that time and going through that time. And as that happened in the 50s, then in the 60s, it hit a crescendo. And so I learned a lot of songs on the top music chart. Some were romantic ballads and the old songs, but many were the new rock music. And then I went to Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1969. And there was a pastor there named David Otis Fuller. And he had an evangelist speaking there, and he had a series of meetings, and I went there, and I remember him preaching about the rock music and how it had entered America and was destroying the morals of America. And I remember going forward and committing to give up the rock music, and so I stopped listening to the pop music of that time. And you know, I'm talking this morning about a song that was written during that time period. In fact, the song was released in the Imperial label, I believe it was April 15, 1965. And the singer was supposed to be Dionne Warwick, but she wouldn't sing it, so Jackie DeShannon said she would sing it. The writer was a man by the name of Hal David, a Jewish man, and he had a good Jewish friend called Burt Bacharach. And they worked together. David was the music writer, and Bacharach was the music composer, songwriter and composer. And Mr. David, you know, had started to write a song, and it was called What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love. That's the only thing there's just too little of. And he wanted to write that song, but it stopped. He couldn't go any further than that. He just wrote that much, and for 2 years he couldn't come up with any more. So he was at his home in Long Island, New York, and Burt Bacharach and he were driving to work in Manhattan. And while he was driving to work, Hal David, it just came to him, as he was, you know, a gifted writer, it came to him that he wanted that song as a prayer. And so when he did it as a prayer, it was What the World Needs Now Is Love, Sweet Love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. And then he thought of it as a prayer, and he said, Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. You know, Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. We don't need another river. You know, there are rivers till the end of time, and so forth. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing. How many have ever heard that song? It's a very popular song, and it was interesting. A Jewish writer and a Jewish composer, God uses the Jewish people a lot of times to teach morality. These men didn't know the Lord. Didn't know their own Messiah. But yet, you know, they were saying what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, my sermon this morning is what the world needs now is love. But I want to say it's not the prayer of Hal David that we need. Because the Lord knows all about love. He is the God of love, and He knows all about it. The world doesn't know what real love is, and so this man didn't know the Messiah, and I have good news for anybody like Hal David or anybody else that God has love for this world. And God has revealed his love for the world. You know, if you read the Bible in the Gospel of Matthew, it's written to the Jewish world. So the Jewish world can understand their Messiah, the Lord. And the Mark's Gospel was written to the Roman mind so the Roman could understand the Gospel in action, the Messiah in action. And then the Gospel of Luke was written to the Greek mind. So they were looking for the perfect man. Well, he is the perfect man. And Jesus is the perfect man. And then John was written for the whole world. It's the universal gospel. It appeals to everybody. Red, yellow, black, and white. They're precious in his sight. Young, old, rich, poor. And God wants you to know this message. He knows what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But it's not the world's love. It's God's love that the world needs now. And that's what the Lord Jesus came to show us and to demonstrate to us. And take your Bible and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3, as has been read this morning. And I want to say the main verse I'm going to quote to you is this verse that many of you have heard this morning. It is this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to say two things this morning. Number one, the source of that love that the world needs now is given in John's Gospel, chapter 3, 13 through 21. And the way that song should read, as I just said, is what the world needs now is love, God's love. What the world needs now is love, God's love. What you need now is God's love, not man's love, not the inspired love of a poet, not the inspired love of a natural man, a great musician like Burt Bacharach. What you need now is the love of God, and God wants you to know that he is the source of that love. Now, notice what it says in verse 13 of John 3. It says this: and no man hath... Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, who didn't understand. He was a Jewish man, didn't understand God's love. And he said, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, God says that the love that the world needs didn't come up from inspired poets. It came down from heaven in the person of God's Son, who came down to this world. And he came down to demonstrate in his life, in his birth, in his death, in his burial and resurrection, the love of God for anybody in the world that understands it and would receive that love of God. And so that love of God is poured out for this world, and it must be brought down from above. If you're going to receive the love of God, understand the love of God, you must get it from above. Even like the Bible says this: the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? In my own life, the wrath of God had to come down to me from heaven. I had to see it. I was in Muskegon, Michigan, reading a King James Scofield Bible in my great-grandmother's bedroom. She'd passed away. And as I read the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't see the love of God there. I saw the wrath of God. I always knew I was a sinner, but I didn't know I was so sinful that I deserved to die and go to hell. But that day, I saw it. That summertime, I saw it. And I labored under the wrath of God. You see, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. God tells us about it in his word. God warns us about it. People like Noah warned the world of his day about it. People like me that are preachers and others are warning the wrath of God is coming on this world. And it's coming because of our sin. And it will bring hell on this earth. And it is soon to come. And so, likewise, you have to realize that if you're going to understand the love of God, that comes down from heaven. The world can't give you love. It can't show you true love. It's all selfish. It's all based on an angle. And romantic love and everything is has a worm in every apple of every romance. Because any romance that is, and there's all right, romance is all right, but it's no good if it's not based on God's love. It's got to have God's love underneath it, or it's not going to last, it's not going to work, because it is selfish. And it is sinful. This world is fallen. And so the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And so is the love of God. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell this Jewish man. Now, our former pastor, Charles Ware, African American, you can see his picture out there. He used to always say to me and to others, he said, love is other person-centered. Love is other person's end. There are people that talk a good game, but love is action. Love is action for others, and it's other person-centered. And that's what God's love is. You know, we all naturally love ourselves, right? I've preached on this. People say you need three commandments. One is to love yourself, and the other is to love your neighbor and to love God. No, there's only two. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. You already love yourself. We're already selfish. That's what he's saying. But you have to learn to love others as you naturally love yourself. And so God, listen to me, his love goes to meet the basic needs of others. Some people, they only talk about themselves. They can't get beyond themselves. They can't get beyond their own little interests. They can't look at others. But God looks at the needs, and he meets those basic needs and those most important needs. And so Jesus is talking to this Jewish man. And he's saying, as Moses lifted up, verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And he's explaining God's love. And see, why did those people need God to meet their need? Because they were walking in the wilderness and they were complaining. They didn't like the food. Oh, I'm sick of this man. I'm sick of it. It came from heaven, but no, they were sick of it. I'm sick of the preacher. I'm sick of Moses. He is just always telling us this and telling us that, but he hasn't brought us into the promised land. He took us out of Egypt. We had good food back then. We had nice things back then. And they're complaining about Moses. They're complaining about God. And God saw that as sin. You know, we all sin, and we have sin in our life. And what happened? God sent fiery snakes. Poisonous snakes, and they went and they bit the people, and the people were filled with venom, and they were dying from snake bite, and they needed something urgently, and God told Moses what he could do to save these people from dying of snake bite. They were already bit. They were already dying, and so Moses, he was told, take a pole, and probably had a crossbeam across the pole, and impale a serpent on that pole with the crossbeam, and it was a brazen serpent which symbolized God's judgment. And the serpent was put up on that pole, and Moses held it up, probably a long pole with a crossbeam, held it up. Now remember, there's 2 million people out there. They're dying all over from being bit by snakes. And God said, here's the solution. All they have to do, I'm going to make it simple. I'm going to make it so universal that the smartest and the dumbest can understand it. The richest and the poorest can understand it. It doesn't matter. The oldest and the youngest can understand. Even if they're close to the pole or if they're very far away from the pole and they can hardly make out what's on the pole, they can still look to that pole. And as soon as they look, they will be immediately healed, I promise, of the snake bite. And God made it simple, just like the Gospel of John. The love of God, he keeps it simple. And Moses did what he was supposed to do. He put the snake on the pole, he held it up, and people started looking. People right near to it, they looked, and they were healed. Moses said, look to the snake on the pole. And people that were far away, and they were healed. People that could barely see it were healed. Smart people were healed. Dumb people were healed. Rich and poor. It didn't matter. Listen. God says the same thing in the Word of God. And this is what Jesus said about that very thing. He says that he was lifted up on the cross. And here's what it says in verse 14. I'll read it. It says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, it's very simple. He knew that we have sinned And our sin is so great that everybody's going to have to die. You can't escape death. My grandma used to say, someday some little germ will get you. Someday everything's going to come to a screeching halt. And you say, why am I going to die? Because you've sinned. And you've sinned in Adam. You cannot escape it. And after you die, there is the second death. And what's the second death? You go to the judgment. You have to keep that appointment. You might not want to keep a dentist appointment or a doctor appointment, but you have to keep that appointment. And you die and you stand before God. You might not want to keep an appointment to go to church and hear the preacher, but you have to go to that appointment. And it's appointed unto man once to die, then cometh the judgment. And you stand before the judge. He shows you all your sin. It's God on the throne. He shows you all your sin. And then, unfortunately, an angel casts you into a lake of fire, and you're there forever and ever and ever. God says that's true of every man, woman, child. That's true universally. But wait a minute. God's love provided the way to be healed from that snake bite. The way for you to live and live forever. Not just temporarily, but forever. And it was not a snake on a pole. That just represented the one called Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, who was led by the Father, just like Moses put that snake on that pole. He was led by the Father to go to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and nailed on a cross and hoisted up by the Romans and put up where he hung there between heaven and earth. And the Bible says in chapter 3, verse 14, I just read it, it says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, look at verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life right there. Eternal life. Now listen to me. That's very simple. You say that's too easy. That's easy believism. No, that's called believism. Amen. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. You know what it means to believe upon Christ? It just simply means to look to the one that was lifted up on that pole and who says that he was judged by God for our sins. You say, whose sins? Anybody who will look to him. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how much Bible you know or don't know. I don't care who your relatives are. I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, rich, white, red, yellow, black, white, African, Asian, American. It doesn't matter. If you're a sinner, you know you're on your way to hell. Look to Jesus, and one look is all they needed, and they were healed. They looked, knowing that that's what God said through Moses. And now God says through Jesus Christ, one greater than Moses, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. You're not saved by looking at yourself. You're saved by looking at him. And you may look at yourself after you look to him in doubt, but he still saved you. It's eternal, my friend. You don't lose something that's eternal. It's forever and ever and ever. Listen. That's what the Bible says. I'm going to believe the witness of God. I'm going to believe the Bible. And I'm going to preach the Bible. Because people are dying and going to hell. Perhaps somebody here, you don't have the assurance of salvation. Just look to him. He is man, the perfect man, dying on the cross, who paid for man's sin. Just like he healed those people, he will immediately save you. He will not turn you away. You say, I can't see him. He's miles away. Some of those people are miles. I just barely see the. It doesn't matter how much you see him. It's are you looking to him? It's how great your faith is. It's how great he is. He never fails. And so that is the love of God. It meets my basic need. It met the need in my life because I saw the wrath of God and that scared the willy out of me. But I saw the love of God and God used that to change my heart. And that's what the Bible says here. So listen, what the world needs now is love. God's love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And we need more of the preaching of the love of God. We need more of the relating of the love of God. And that's what it says in John 3:16. Listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, who whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Based on that scripture, I know I have everlasting life. It's not based on my feelings, not based on... It's based on the simple testimony of Jesus Christ. Is he a liar or is he the Lord of glory? I say to you this morning, he is the Lord who loves you. You'll have no greater friend, no greater lover than Jesus Christ. He's the greatest lover of all time. And he follows that up in John 3, 17 and 18. That he says there, the love of God came from heaven and is the love that the world needs. And he says that he came here, listen, as the cure to our problem. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That was his mission. And he says in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. You know what? I remember Jesus speaking to the Jews and they would not believe on him. They would not accept him as the Lord of glory. They just said, you're a liar, you're filled with Satan. They said everything against him. And he said, listen, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. And what does he mean by I am he? I am the eternal Son of God, who was always with the Father in heaven before I was born. Do you believe that this morning? If you don't believe that I'm he, eternal God in the flesh, and that I died as the judgment for the sins of the world, and anyone in the world that will put their trust in what I did and in me, you'll be saved. You'll be saved forever. That's the promise of God. That's the love of God. And he is just making a sincere claim, and he is the source of true love. Maybe you've looked for love in all the wrong places. Sometimes that happens. You know, young ladies, they maybe daddy didn't love them right, or some such thing like that. And they look for love in all the wrong places, and they find things that are not good for them in this world. They learn the hard way things that are not good for them in this world. And so I am saying that what the world needs now is God's love. Now, I want you to notice the response of the world. Look at to his love. You know, you can respond to his love. Somebody can go to a young lady and say, I got this ring. Would you marry me? And of course, there's a lot more to it, but it's a sermon. Would you marry me? And she can say yes or no. If she's yes, she receives that love and that ring becomes hers. If she says no, whose is that ring? Well, it's still his, right? And he may find somebody else. And so that is the response of the world. And I'd like you to look at John 3, verse 19 through 21, and look at the response of the world. Jesus is speaking. Here's what he says. Look at 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. You see, have you ever talked to somebody about the love of God and they ran away from it? Why? Because they like to live in the dark. You ever notice bars are dark? You ever notice houses of prostitutions, the lights are low? You ever notice people that want to sin, they cover up their sin and hide it from the media, and they try to hide and duck? And you ever turned over a rock and see all the ugly bugs, you know, scrap? See, people, when they see light, a lot of times they'll run away from the light because they want to stay in the darkness. And Jesus is talking about that. This is your response now. How are you going to respond? You going to come to Jesus and trust him, or run away from him? If you come to him, he said, I will not cast you out. Don't believe the devil. He won't cast you out. You are already accepted in him if you've accepted him. And then it says in verse 20, For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. You see, that's why a lot of people don't want to come to church and hear the King James Bible preached, because who knows what's going to be exposed in here. Well, listen, that's the love of God that exposes sin. The Bible says God's love, charity, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. God's love causes you to come to the truth.
Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. God caused you to come to Him, put your trust in Him, and then to walk in the truth of Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, the last verse, it says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Wait a minute, why do they come to the light? Why not run away? Because it says in verse 21, the key there, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. His coming to the light is wrought by God. You see, we need God to work in our hearts.
That's right.
So that we don't run from Jesus.
Yep.
But we go to Him. Jesus draws you. He makes you willing. That's His love too. And He's telling you about this morning, and that He is the source of love, and you have a choice. Will you run from Him or will you run to Him? He works in your life if you want to come to Him and trust Him. That's the source of love. And once you get that source of love, guess what? The love of Jesus is now in your life. And He wants that love upheld. And He wants that love to show forth. And that brings me to the second and last point. What the world needs now is God's love, and the source of that love is what the world needs, Jesus, and the showing of that love is what the world needs now. And that is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 14. And there was a man, his name was Saul of Tarsus, and he was a persecutor of early believers in Christ. And he wanted to get rid of believers. He heard their testimonies. He saw the love in their lives. He was a religious man, but he was not a man that knew anything about God's love. He knew God's punishment, God's wrath, but he didn't understand God's love. And so he tried to silence these Christians. But on his way to travel north to get more Christians to arrest them, and they weren't called Christians then, they were called people of the way. He called them a cult. And he was after them, and he thought they were wacko, and he was going to arrest them. And he met the source of love, Jesus Christ. And Jesus first showed him His wrath. And then through a man on the street called Straight, He showed him His love. And his conversion was complete, and the Holy Spirit came inside of him and made him to experience the love of Jesus Christ. He'd never seen it before. But I want you to know what happened to this man. He was no longer called Saul of Tarsus. He was called the Apostle Paul. And he writes about this experience of the love of God in 2 Corinthians. And I want to read it to you. Chapter 5 and verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5, 14. And he's talking about his life after he met Christ and experienced His love. He says in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Listen, that is a flowing stream. It's like a stream of water. It's flowing. It's a powerful current. And once you get in that stream, what does it do? It pushes you. It moves you. It's a force. That's the way the love of Christ is. The love of Christ was a force when He came and paid for our sins and met our need. But it's a force when you accept Him and receive Him that pushes you along in your life, that pushes you out to show the love of Christ to other people. By the way, it's like a wind blowing. The wind began blowing on the day of Pentecost. You see, it's the Spirit of Christ, listen, that shows the love of the Father and the Son. The Spirit blows. John 3 says the Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it wills. And it becomes a force in your life to change your life. And so that wind blows in your life. And what you need to do is put your sails up, catch that wind. It will move you because you cannot defeat that force, that wind of the love of God. I think about a young lady that told me recently, she had gone to our Christian school here when she was a young lady. I think she came to this church when she was about 9 years old, and then in her teens went to our Christian school, graduated from our Christian school, is now teaching in a Baptist church Christian school in Florida, Haines City, Florida.
And she told me, she said, you know, when I was a little girl, I was told, you know, come and visit the church. And she said, but I always heard that the church is there just to brainwash. That if you go to this church, you know, you'll probably be brainwashed to think the way they think, you know, to act the way they act. And so don't get under that influence, you know. But she was led to go to this church as a little girl. And she went there and she said to me over the phone in a recent call, she said, I heard you preaching. And she said, I saw something more than a sermon. She said, I saw a man that loved the people that he was preaching to. And I said, well, that's the love of God. That's the love of God. The love of God doesn't have any angles. The love of God wants you to be blessed. And that love works in us. Now, we're imperfect beings, amen? None of us show forth that love of God perfectly, do we? I would include myself. But I have seen the love of God working in people's lives, in the church. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants us now that have received that love to show it. And you know, you have to, in order to show it, you have to let yourself be broken and spilled out. There's a song called Broken and Spilled Out. And I think of that lady, Mary of Bethany. You know, she had a precious perfume. It was worth about $50,000. And she took it and she broke it and spilled it all over the Lord's feet and hair. And the fragrance filled the room of the house where the Lord was. And of course, when she did that, it was a picture of the love of God coming out of your life. But you have to let yourself be broken and spilled out and get outside of yourself. Judas didn't like it. He didn't understand. He was mad. But the Lord said, she's done a beautiful thing, and I'm going to let people know about what she's done. And listen, God wants you to be like that. He wants you to let your life show forth the love of God when God changes your life. I think of a man on my property. He was, during COVID, he had all this free time. He was a very gifted construction worker. He worked putting on roofs and he had all this free time, and he sat at home and he took methamphetamine. And he happened to be renting an apartment from me. And he was fixing it up, but he took methamphetamine and he started going bonkers. And he thought little men were crawling up from the floor. He thought I was a federal agent that was going to kill people. He got weird ideas. And this man eventually lit the apartment on fire and burned it half down, my apartment. And but there was a man that was giving him drugs. And this man was afraid of me. He'd come on my property and he would speed up to get away in the winter because this guy told him, I'm a federal agent, I'll kill people. He was paranoid. And the guy sped up to get out of there, you know. But he was a drug pusher. And this man had lived in Carbondale, and he remembered a young man that witnessed to him at school, and he saw the family of that young man. It was Andy Menarchik's family. And he went to Andy, and he said, what must I do to be saved? Because God began to show him the wrath of God for his sin. And Andy told him about the love of Jesus Christ and how the Lord died and rose again, and he believed, and he was saved. And that night, Andy brought him here to Thursday night, soul-winning night, and we baptized him right here in the baptistry. He joined the church. And then that same guy that used to come on my property, pushed drugs to a guy that burned my apartment nearly down, became my partner to go out to his fellow friends and drug people in Carbondale. And we told him about the love of Christ. I'm saying to you that God uses you to spread that love of Christ and to meet people's basic need. And what was Abigail's basic need, and the girl was Abigail Zukowski, his sister, came here, and as a 9-year-old girl, she went up to Brother Joe, who was by the sound booth, and Deacon Joe told her about Christ and asked her two questions, and she wasn't saved, and he told her how she could be saved, and she looked to the Lord and was saved and received that love of God in her life. And now it's changed her life. The guy, Dennis, that I was just talking about, the love of Christ changed his life. And that love changes your life and my life. And God wants us to meet the basic needs of others by going out with the gospel. I like what our former pastor, Charles Ware, said. He said, I don't love the people of Scranton. He said, God loves them. And he wants to use me. And so when you make yourself available, God works through you and you get all excited about it. I think of Matt McCorder, who came to my house last night after being out in Carbondale and in Jessup and in Oliphant and all over telling people about the Lord, inviting them to church. He was so excited about what God was doing. Why? Because it's not his love, it's God's love. Did you visit Jamie yesterday? Didn't visit Jamie, but she's here today. Amen. It's God's love. And God's love's all about people. Red, yellow, black, white. God makes no discrimination. He's no racial prejudice with God. It's all people. And God loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, Toto, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Can you imagine it? All around the throne, all around Jesus, all the people of the world that have been saved by him. Just by looking to him and seeing that he loves the world and he died for the world. He didn't come to condemn anybody. And you say, well, I'm afraid to come. Come as you are. He'll accept you. Amen. You don't dress yourself up to come to Jesus. Right. You come as you are. You come if you're naked and you realize it and sinful. And you come like Adam and Eve, naked and sinful. And the Lamb was slain for them too. And God loves the world, beloved. And so, you know what? I think about that and I think about the love of God. And I've seen it in people. I've seen it in men. I met Dr. Jack Hiles. He was a rip-snorting preacher. King James Bible fundamental preacher. But when I met him, I saw that part of him. But what I saw would come through was that here's a man that loved people. He loved me. He showed it in a personal way. I won't go into the stories, but I experienced that love from that man. And it was just God's love. And when he was a little boy, he went to a church and a Sunday school teacher saw him with no shoes. And she said, God loves you and probably more than the other little boys here. And he saw the love of God and it changed his life and he never was the same. The love of Christ can constrain you, can move you, should move you to tell others and to help others because there are so many people that are messed up. They're dying to go to hell. Sometimes people come to our church and they say, well, you have people from group homes. You have people here from poverty. You have people. Yes, we do. I plead guilty. You say, what does it? The love of Christ. You need a better dose of that in your life. Because if you don't have the love of God in your life, you're judging people based on their skin color, based on their money, based on their sexual, who they are. And there's only two, male or female, by the way. Binary and all this other garbage is not in the Bible. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. And that's the love of God, to tell you the truth. You're born a girl, you're a girl. If you need to take girl hormones, take them. You're born a boy, you're a boy. If you need to take hormone boosters, take them. Be what God made you to be. But if you're messed up in that area, God can save people. God can save people that have gotten all messed up and wash them and cleanse them. That's what Jesus said. It's for anybody, any kind of sinner. They're welcome here. They're welcome here. They had somebody put on church discipline here and saw a couple of our people and he said, oh, you're not allowed to talk to me. Well, that's not true. The Bible's very clear when somebody's on church discipline, you're allowed to talk to them to tell them, we love you, we want you to repent though. Always say you need to repent and come back to God. And that's what they told him. They said, we can talk to you. We love you. We want to tell you to repent and come back. And our arms will be wide open. And the arms of Jesus is wide open if you repent of your own righteousness, your own self-righteousness, and stop trusting in yourself. and look to him and what he did to save us. It's not about you loving God first. It's about God loving you. And it's his love that's in our life that saves people. That's why when Marie came in that night, Jesse's wife, she came in that night. What was it, 4 years ago, something about that time? About 4 years ago, she came in here, and she was looking for churches. She'd been in a liberal church that was messed up, and she was looking for churches that preached from the King James Bible. Why she was looking for King James, I don't know. She wasn't from that church, but she was looking. It was God working in her, and she was going to different churches, and the church she was going to go to that night, it was a storm, and she couldn't get there. She was right in front of our church, so she came in. I started preaching, and she was crying, and received the love of God. And I had her talk to my wife, and my wife explained to her at the altar about Christ. And she believed, and her life was changed. That's the love of God. That's what God wants us to show forth. He wants us to show forth his love. And anybody that's done anything has some measure of understanding the love of God and are letting it show in their life. I appreciate Brother Jose here. He's been showing more and more the love of God in his life. You know how he's showing it? By visiting bus kids, by giving the gospel to people, by being a faithful man and being here. He's showing that love of God in his life. And you can see it. God wants God, that's why they later on called us Christians. What's Christians? Christ ones. They see the love of Christ in us. Do people see the love of Christ in your family, or do they see family members railing on other family members because of little differences? One thing my wife really did good in our home was to impress on all of our kids to love kids, maybe at their Christian school that were not popular. We're not accepted in the in crowd. Our kids could be accepted easily. They had the skills. But other kids, she said, they don't always have that. And people rail on them because they're little people, wicked people, unloving. You love them. You care for them. Once you understand Jesus' love for you and what he did for you, you can never refuse to love. Unless you're going against the wind and the rain and the push of the love of God. And you just need to repent and say, Lord, I'm way out of whack here. I need to get into loving you and loving other people. And that's what he meant by God is love. That's why John, the beloved disciple, talked about the love of God so much. And when people see it operating in the church, if you can't even love one another in your own family or in the church, how are you going to give it to the world? You see? Jesus gave it to the world. How did the world receive it? Well, they called him a devil. They crucified him. You know, they abused him. But there were those that received it. And they came to the light because their works were wrought in God. He was drawing them. And he will do that if we just let the light shine. You say, I don't want to go out there because people slam doors in your face. Yeah, Jesus said that's going to happen. I send you as sheep amongst wolves. But he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Go show my love. What the world needs now is love. God's love. The Lord knows all about it. He doesn't need us to pray and say, God, we need love. He knows we need love. He gave us love. He wants us to share it. Amen. And if you haven't yet received it, it's free. He'll take you as you are. If you know you're a sinner on your way to hell, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Is he lying?
No,
he's not lying. He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. Think of the Father that he gave up his Son. I think of the Sabotniks. They gave their son to go into the army, and then his life, they gave it. What a sacrifice for a parent to give a child that you love. Think of the Father, how much he loved the world that he would give his son, knowing that that was the only way to save you and I. Think how much he loved us. That was the only way to save us is by handing him over to wicked people who would condemn him, spit in his face, call him a devil, strip him naked. He had no loincloth on that cross. He was stark naked. And he endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. The joy that was set before him, our people from every race, tribe, tongue, kindred, nation, little and older and rich and poor, that would receive his love. Thank God for his love. Thank God for Elvis that's here today. Elvis, I'm glad to see you here. Amen. And the love reaches out to people from all over. And he wants you to reach out to others and meet their basic need. What's their basic need? They're dying. You know, your basic needs change when you're dying. When I heard about Sarge, I said, his basic need, get him to the hospital, get him checked. I don't know if he's dying or just, but I didn't want to risk it. You meet the basic need. I'll close here. I was in the mall yesterday, actually. And a young lady came up to me. She had some tattoos. Very attractive young lady, about 20 years old, came up. She had some tattoos. She said, Pastor Bloom. And I didn't know who it was. And she talked to me and gave me her name. And she used to come to church, hasn't been here. And then she said she was related to somebody in the church. And I just thought, what's her basic need? She needs Jesus, amen. And I asked her the two spiritual questions. And she didn't have the clue. She didn't have the answer. And I got to lead her to Christ. And right there, she prayed to receive Christ. You see, he's the light of the world. People are in a cold, dark place. They need him. That's their basic need. Too many people look on the outward appearance. And they have angles of what they're going to get, how they're going to use people, right? They want to use people. Elvis Presley, they used him. The Colonel used him and wrung everything out of him and spit him out. You will be used by the devil. But Jesus will not use you. He will give you more than he takes. He will always give you more than he takes. Because he's love. Receive his love. Believe his love. He's not lying when he says it's simple. He made it simple because it's a universal need. And he wanted to get it out there. May you do the same and may you receive it if you haven't. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed.